Well, I look forward to this Sunday each year to be able to not only recognize our graduates, but then be able to share a message. I don't know if you'd call it like the final message for our graduates, but it's one that is focused on our students to be able to encourage them as they take this next step. But also I want to be able to challenge and encourage us as a community, as a church family, in being able to take those next steps in our relationship with Jesus. And so as I prayed about it, there was a passage of Scripture, one of the favorite passages of Scripture of mine, of a Jesus encounter with his disciples in Matthew chapter 14. And that's where we're going to be looking here in just a few minutes. Because here's the thing, no one would have ever thought that this year's class of 2020 would have ended this way. And there are things that could distract us, doubts, fears, and this passage has a lot to do with that. And so my prayer is that this would be an encouragement not only to our seniors that are here, our senior class, but also to each one of us. As a senior class comes and goes, that means there is a new class coming. And so just for a minute here, I want to do a little commercial that tonight our student ministry is actually going to be back in person. And so we have a new crop of sixth graders coming. We're going to have our first in-person youth group. We're still going to stream things online as we have, but if you know any sixth graders or seventh, eighth, or so forth, encourage them to come. Seniors, you still get your senior year of youth group, youth ministry, so you're welcome to join us as well, but looking forward to being back together. As was thinking about Graduate Sunday, there are two questions that I wanted us to be thinking about as we dive into this encounter with Jesus in Matthew chapter 14. Have you ever been distracted that you almost made a huge mistake or an accident? Or how about this? Have you ever lost focus before? So I was thinking about that. I was asking some different people, you know, what are some times where you've been so distracted that an accident almost happened? And I'm sure this probably has never happened to anyone in this room, but have you ever gotten into your car, started the car, and started backing out and realized, oh, the garage door isn't open yet? Have you ever done that? Or maybe you didn't stop and actually hit the garage door. After first service, there was someone who confessed to that to me. And so, didn't know I was a priest. How about this? Have you ever gone to the mall, parked your car, or gone on a trip and you parked your car at the airport? And, you know, at the mall, you got such a great deal on some shopping thing that you bought. And you're like, where did I park that car? There's a lot of cars. Now, you know, at the Findlay Mall, we could find our car. But I'm talking like a real mall. All right? Or at the airport, you just get back from a trip late at night, and you think, where did I park that car? I was talking at a meeting this weekend. There were these two women that I was talking to. Two people, I should say. Scratch that, I said women. I said it again. But they told me about this time when they came back really late from a trip and they forgot where their car was, and they called their husband like, well, what do you want me to do? I can't find it. And then what they do have at airports is there are people that will help you find your car. They get you in a vehicle and you go up and down the aisles and you keep hitting that button to see if the horn honks and things like that. Now, actually, they have apps on your smartphone. So when you go to park somewhere, you could actually tag where your car is at. To be able to, those types of things. How about at the gas station? Have you ever seen someone pump gas, get in their car, and forget that they had the gas pump in their car and try to drive off? That's kind of a scary one. But I'm sure that if we sat here and talked, there are different stories that people could say where, man, I lost focus, I almost had this accident. Or how about this second question here? Have you ever faced something you feared and experienced something great out of it? Have you ever had to overcome some fears? you're like, I don't want to do that. I remember when I was a small child, I never went on roller coasters. Then in high school, our youth group took a trip to Six Flags Great America in Chicago area. And I was like, yeah, I'll just stand out here and wait for you guys. You can get, and they're like, no, Scott, you're coming. And they took me on my first roller coaster, did the little loop-de-loo and all that stuff, and I was hooked. I was like, man, this is fun. And so I was able to get past that. I remember a previous church that was at, we used to do this thing called Beach Day, and there was this guy that brought a parasail out one day and took all of the students up parasail. I thought, hey, that's great. You guys could go do that. Then he said, hey, Scott, we got time for one more, and the wind has died down. We can go an extra 100 feet up. Get the life jacket on. And I was looking at him like, I ain't going. But you know what? I did it and got up, and it was awesome. And then I think, you know, the first time that I ever preached in front of people, it probably wasn't that good. Maybe it still isn't that good. I don't know. but those are fears that I had to get over to be able to do different things. Maybe that's something that you can identify with. Well, this morning we're going to look at this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 14 that has to do with those two questions. We're going to find that the disciples are being sent across the Sea of Galilee ahead of Jesus, and Jesus is going to meet them out there. So if you have a Bible or a device, go ahead and click over to Matthew chapter 14. We also are going to have it on the screen so you can follow along. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, starting in verse 22. So let's listen to God's word here. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Let's pray as we begin. God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage of scripture. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Use your Holy Spirit to teach us this morning, that we could be encouraged to continue to keep our eyes focused on you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, if we were to boil this message down into one sentence based on this passage of scripture, what I want to be able to communicate to you this morning, it's this. We can avoid letting doubt and fear to blur our vision by keeping our eyes focused on the most important thing, and that's our relationship with Jesus. As I think about for seniors, as you go off to this next chapter, as you go to a different school, a different environment, keeping your eyes focused on our relationship with Jesus. I think about us as a community here of believers. It's been a rough few months, hasn't it? There's been distractions. There's been maybe times where we've doubted, where we've feared things. But are we keeping our eyes focused on Jesus through that? I think we can learn some things here from this passage. What does that look like? And as I looked at this passage, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, think about this. Peter, he'd be the one that would say, yeah, Jesus, if you're walking on water, I want to do that too, right? Think about how this developed Peter for what the future was going to entail for him. I think it has the same for us today. And so I want to make two observations this morning and then be able to put those observations into context and practice and how we can apply this passage of Scripture to us. First observation is this. Not only does Jesus tell us to trust him, he shows us what it looks like. And what I mean by that is that Jesus trusted the Father so much that he took a break from his important list of things to do. Feed thousands of people, heal the sick, preach the good news. Look at this passage in context. If you look at the previous verses in chapter 14, Jesus met the disciples on the boat right after he told them to go ahead, after the fact that he just fed 5,000 people. See, Jesus had gone to this remote area, and people continued to follow him. People continued to gather. Wow, that's a term that we're familiar with these days, right? But there were people following Jesus, and they were in this area that was very remote, and it was getting time to eat, and they hadn't gotten a Chick-fil-A put up there yet. But the disciples are kind of freaking out. They're like, what are we going to do? We need to send them home. We need to have them go and get food. And Jesus says, what? What do you got? Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, bring that to me. And he feeds the 5,000. And then there were leftovers even, as Scripture tells us. But right after that, Jesus doesn't go on to his next thing. He spends time with God the Father. He gets away to pray. And that's something that we're going to learn a little bit more about in a few minutes. But we need to understand the context that Jesus tells us to trust him, but he also shows us what does it look like. It means spending time alone, talking to God about the different things that are happening in our life. Second observation that want to share with you is Jesus is stronger than our fears and our doubts. Jesus is stronger than our fears and our doubts. Have you ever feared that you're not good enough? Have you ever feared that you're not strong enough? Have you ever felt like you were drowning in some metaphorical storm? Just the different circumstances that happen in our life where it seems like we just can't get a break, where we feel like we're drowning. If so, that means you're human. We're all going to deal with that. We're all going to have different circumstances that might be difficult for us. But in this passage, we can see that Jesus is stronger than those. As we focus on Jesus, doesn't mean that those things automatically go away, but he helps us to get through those things. He's there with us in those. When you doubt that you're good enough to be loved by Jesus, when everything around you says that you're drowning, trust the promise that Jesus is stronger through that. Came across this picture that someone sent to me this week as they knew that I was preaching on Matthew chapter 14. Kind of a funny verse or a funny picture here. It says, I'm drowning, and Jesus is saying, good to see you. I'm drowning. I'm Jesus. Do you ever feel like that, though? Do you ever feel like, man, I'm drowning in some things here? Circumstances, the different things you're dealing with. The encouragement that we get from this passage of Scripture, too, is when Peter said that to Jesus, he didn't go check his planner to see, hey, should I save this guy or not? He was right there, wasn't he? It says immediately he pulled him up. And maybe sometimes we forget that. We forget that Jesus is right there with us. And as we turn our focus on Jesus, we'll begin to see for ourselves that our circumstances might be blurred by the storms around us, but they could actually become clearer as we focus on him and not the things around us. So out of those two observations, what do we do with that? Where do we go from there? How can we avoid doubt and fear to blur our vision? Well, as I thought about this, and I was talking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking about this in terms of like sports and how do you get through things. Friend Kevin Noreen, part of our church here, he played West Virginia. He played basketball. He didn't play West Virginia. He played basketball at West Virginia, and he helped train Zach in basketball for the last few years. And I asked him, hey, have you ever been in a situation where you've had pressure to make a shot or to make some free throws? What helped you to get through that? Because I think that same type of thing is something that we deal with in our regular life. There are times where we have to rely on something to help us to get through those circumstances. And what he talked about, it's muscle memory and repetition. He said that when they would practice, they would get everyone to shoot free throws, and they had to make a certain amount of free throws, or they would be running and running and running. So there was encouragement to make sure that you made your free throws. He also talked about, he said, it was just getting into that rhythm and doing things the same, doing things in a repetition way that he would get muscle memory. I've also seen this with Steph Curry, where he takes these crazy shots. When we see him take them in games, it's actually because he practiced them. And actually, Kevin told me that his coach, Bob Huggins, said, if you take a shot that you've practiced, I'm okay with it. But if you didn't practice it, don't take that shot. I've heard also of different ways that basketball teams have piped in music because, you know, when you're playing in a bigger stage, there's distractions. There's people trying to make sure that you don't make that free throw. I came across this picture called the Curtain of Distraction from Arizona State University. And so what they do is you see that the opposing team is ready to shoot a free throw, and the student section is behind them, and you see a clown there, right? Well, what before that happens, there is a curtain that comes across, as you see that yellow bar there, and when the opposing player goes out there, they reveal the curtain, and here you've got a jump roping clown distracting you while you're trying to shoot a free throw. There are different ways that different teams do this to try to distract that person from making the shot. Fans are doing that all the time. So you hear about this in football, pumping in crowd noise. There must have been something a couple years ago when the Bears kicker missed that doink. And I don't want to talk about that because I'm a Bears fan. Yeah, but there are different ways that fans do that. And here's what we can learn from that. The tiniest loss of focus can cost you the game. Could sometimes come down to a free throw. And so you need to be focused. Elite athletes plan for these things. They practice. They prepare for that to happen. And that got me to thinking, how are we doing that in our Christian life as a Christ follower? Are we planning for the distractions that we are going to come across? Do we have times where, well, I didn't think that was going to happen? Or are we planning for that? How can we train to focus on Jesus even when the distractions around us seem to be too much? And what I came up with is that we need to have spiritual muscle memory. We need to have spiritual repetition or muscle memory. We need to have spiritual disciplines that help us when we get faced with these different circumstances in our life. As these graduates go off to school, there are going to be different distractions, different circumstances that are going to come up. And especially for those that are going away, parents aren't there right beside them at that point to help them. They're a phone call away or FaceTime or things like that. What are you going to depend on? For us, over these last few weeks, have we been distracted? Have we been focusing on maybe the storms around us that have been happening and what is getting us through that? And so I wrote down a few things that what are some fundamentals or essentials that we need to have this spiritual muscle memory? What are some things that we could put into our toolbox? Or like you saw in one of the pictures, your utility belt for Batman. I thought it was funny. You guys didn't, so that's all right. Dad jokes. All right, here's the first one. First tool that I think that we could do is prayer. Again, as we look at the passage right before this, Jesus spent intentional time in prayer. As you read through the Gospels and you see the ministry of Jesus, there are many times where he got away to pray. He got away to pray so many times also that his disciples actually asked him, teach us how to pray. And so that has to be our first resort, not our last resort. So when we're going through different things, when there's different issues happening in our life, are we praying? Are we taking what Jesus models to us and getting alone with God the Father? Second thing is this. Bible reading, studying scripture, reading this thing, not just putting it on the shelf, and I'm okay if you want to read it on your tablet or your phone, but are we reading God's word? Are we putting it into practice, into our life? And here's the other thing, let's not just read it to check off a box that we got it done today. Let's look to see what is God saying to me. Being able to find the different things that we go through life, this book has the answer to that. It speaks to everything that we are ever going to deal with. God has something to say about that. And so we need to put that. That's a great tool to put into our toolbox. Last week, Pastor Blair talked about the renewing of our mind from Romans 12:2. Think about this. I looked it up again this week. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let's not go to the world and to our culture to find out the answers for life's problems. Let's go to God's word for that. Let's be renewed by his word in changing us. Third, community. We need to be part of a church family community. We need to be around other believers. The last few weeks, months, that's been difficult, hasn't it? It's good to be back together and seeing faces in this room. It's good to have people online and being able to be a part of that community. But we need to be around other believers. We need to be able to encourage other believers. We need to be able to receive encouragement. And so maybe the reason that you're here is not just only to get something out of God's word, but maybe there's someone here that needs some encouragement to say hello to. Say, hey, how are things going? How can I pray for you? We need that. Seniors that are going away to school, you need to find another community to be a part of. You need to find a group of friends. We're praying for the group of friends that you're going to be encountering. We want you to be part of a Christian community. There's lots of great Christian communities on universities. And just because you go to a Christian school doesn't mean you're safe. I went to a Christian school, university, and there were still friends that weren't following after Jesus there. And so you need to find a place for that. And if it's not at your school, find a church that you can be a part of. But also for us, over these last few weeks, have we needed one another? as a community? Have you received a phone call, maybe someone praying for you, maybe calling just to check on you? That's what we need, and that's going to help us to stay focused when those storms come. Last one is this, is we need to be serving others. We need to look for ways that we can serve others. Just like I mentioned, maybe you've gotten a phone call or someone checking on you the last few weeks. Maybe you've been part of a family group where you've seen how your family group has served other people. To be able to encourage them, to be able to have a group that's praying for you. How about in our community? There's some ways that we can serve other people in our community in Jesus' name. As I think about these four fundamentals or essentials, there probably could be some others added to it, but prayer, Bible reading, community, and serving others, they're going to help us to stay focused when those storms come. And here's a realization that we have to have. There are going to be storms from time to time. There are going to be distractions out there trying to pull us away. Where are we focusing on? And so what does this mean for us? As I think about it for graduates, you're entering into this new chapter of your life. You're going to be on your own soon. You're going to be able to get new opportunities, different friends, circumstances. I just want to let you know that things are never always going to be easy. But you know what? When you walk through it with Jesus and keep your focus on your relationship with him, and as that grows, you're going to be able to get through those different circumstances. You're going to be able to overcome those fears. You're going to be able to overcome maybe some doubts that you have when it comes to these circumstances that come your way. When I think about the rest of us here, because I always want to be able to encourage us, even on Graduate Sunday, what does this mean for us here? We've been dealing with a lot of stuff over the last few weeks. Have you had some fears? Have you had some doubts? Have you been focusing on the storms around us? Have you gotten distracted? If so, go back to that picture with Jesus reaching out his hand when Peter's drowning and cry out to him and say, "I'm drowning, God, I need you." Get back to some of these fundamentals, these essentials that I talked about. To be able to focus on those things rather than the storms. And I just think about this encounter that Peter had and how that helped prepare him for the days ahead, as many days, but when Jesus left and was crucified on the cross, Peter and the disciples were there to continue that, to continue what Jesus started. And we're here today because of that. God wants to use us. And so maybe you're even sitting in this room and you're listening to all this stuff about Jesus and you haven't even begun a relationship with Jesus. You're hearing, why should I focus on Jesus? Well, because he loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he died on the cross for you. And so if that's something that you want to talk about further, please talk to a friend that might have invited you or one of the pastors here. I want to close with this story that I came across. Not really a story, but a video that kind of illustrates the fact that sometimes we can have this inattentional blindness. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Magic Gorilla video. This is a video that came out in 1999 by this psychologist that was talking about something that we experience called inattentional blindness. And so in this video, you could check it out on YouTube, but what they do is they have a bunch of guys in black t-shirts and a bunch of guys in white t-shirts. And in the video, something comes up and says, count how many times the guys in white t-shirts pass the basketball to one another. And as they're doing that, you're focusing on counting those passes. But what ends up happening is a dancing guy in a gorilla suit comes through the video, even comes up to the screen, and then dances off. But you know what? You don't see it. because you're counting the different passes of the basketball. During the, it's interesting because we get inattentional blindness. And I thought about this, and I wrote this down. While intentional blindness can be funny, it's kind of a funny video to watch. When we think about it and put it in this perspective, spiritual inattentional blindness can be damaging. If we focus on like all the circumstances and maybe what our culture says, how to answer those, but yet not look to Jesus and to God who has all the answers for us, that could be damaging. If doubt consumes us and we miss Jesus walking towards us and calling us, we'll miss out on the most important thing. And so as we close, I think of Hebrews 12:2. It says this, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Verse 2 here, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. If we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, that doesn't mean we're never going to deal with difficult circumstances in our life. We live in a sinful world. But if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and what he has for us and that he wants the best, that we're able to walk through those and to get through those things. So is that something that you need to be encouraged in? Is there some things that maybe you need to change? And as seniors, as you go this next step, always remember to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we've been able to look into your word. We thank you for how you want to walk with us every step of our life. And Lord, as we see this example of Peter walking out on water towards you, and Lord, there are times that we're just like Peter where we get distracted and focus on the things around us, the storms in our life, and we begin to sink. Lord, thank you that you're right there ready when we cry out to you for help. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go from here, as we're dealing with different issues and in life here, with culture and what's going on, Lord, I pray that you would guide us through this, that we would always look to you. Pray this in your name. Amen.